Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Are we ready this morning for the teaching? Amen. I have learned, church, over the years, that no matter how many times I read a portion of Scripture or how many times I read the Bible through, don't think that you have exhausted all the truth in any portion of Scripture. Because the Word of God has so much depth and so much dimension that you will never, ever exhaust the truth in any portion of Scripture. Because, listen, the truth doesn't change, you change. All right? And when you change, you are able to see certain things more clearly. Because you can go back into something that you studied a year ago and receive all kinds of insights from. And if you go with an open heart, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth, you might see something brand new. You might see something from a different angle. A phrase may strike you that you've never seen before. And what I've been recently doing is I am going over again and beginning to study the 26 miracles of Jesus that have been recorded in the Gospels. And I've been over them many, many times. I've read the Gospels over and over again. But this time, doing it again, I was able to extract truth from them as if I was reading them for the first time. And I've come to realize that just like the parables in the Gospels, the stories, they were stories, parables were stories that Jesus told to illustrate certain spiritual truths about the kingdom of God and about the gospel. And I have come to realize that just like the parables, each healing miracle was done not just to show us God's power or that to show us that Jesus was the Messiah, but each healing miracle was done to illustrate and teach certain spiritual truths about the kingdom of God and about the gospel. And this morning, I want to look at one of those healing miracles in Mark chapter 8. If you would turn there with me this morning, Mark chapter 8. Are you here? I heard an oh yeah over there. That's good. Oh yeah, yeah. You're going to get me singing with that oh yeah. Mark chapter 8, I want to look at verses 22 to 26. Now, this miracle is four short verses, but church, there is so much contained in these verses. Let's read it. Do we have it on the screen? Yes. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Now, church, this is without a doubt one of the strangest miracles Jesus ever performed. And in just these little four verses, Jesus builds this miracle before our eyes. And as I read these four verses and just seeing verse by verse how Jesus builds this miracle, as I'm reading this, I begin to see that there is just more here than Jesus just did another miracle. All throughout the Gospels, miracles were happening. Multitudes of sick were being healed. There was the water turning into wine. There was the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000 with bread that wasn't there. There was miracle after miracle upon miracle. And I want to suggest to you again that Jesus is saying that these miracles are simply signs that teach us spiritual truths. Contained in these physical miracles are invaluable spiritual truths. Now, this miracle we read is almost like a parable. It's a true miracle, but at the same time, it is a parable. It is telling us a spiritual truth that we can better understand the spiritual truth by beholding this miracle. So through the illustration of this physical miracle, we're going to be able to better understand a certain spiritual truth. Okay? You with me? Now, this miracle could have been like all the other miracles in the gospel where Jesus would just lay hands on people and they were healed. But now, in these little four verses, we have all this detail given to us, the laying on of hands, the spitting on the eyes, saying to the man, asking the man, well, do you see anything? And then after that, the second laying on of hands. Ooh, Jesus is trying to say something to us here. And I want you today, I want you to open your spiritual ears this morning, and I want you to hear what he is saying, and let's just take a closer look at this miracle. Now, the first part of the miracle is about, here is some people leading a blind man, and they present the blind man to Jesus, and they ask him for healing. They implore Jesus to touch this man. Now, Jesus takes the man. Now, Jesus leads him away from the crowd, outside of the village, watch, and he spits on his eyes. Now, that sounds awful. If you spit in my eye, there might be a right hand coming this way. As soon as the spit hits the eye. You see? It's just a natural reflex. Spit, boom. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, but watch. In the Hebrew culture, the spittle or the spit, watch, always spoke of life. It was as if Jesus spitting on his eyes was imparting life to the dead eyes of the man. So Jesus spits on his eyes, which again, in the Hebrew culture, is a sign of imparting life. The spittle, it's called. After he spits on his eyes, he then lays his hands on the man. And then the question that follows, to me, backs up the fact that this is more than a miracle, but that Jesus is seeking to show us something through this miracle, because he says to the man, watch, he says to the man, do you see anything? The original Greek translation is even stronger. The original Greek says, is it possible you might be seeing something? Now, church, that's a question that I would not expect from Jesus. Do you see anything? Jesus laid hands on me. Do you see anything? But why? He is leading us here to a deeper spiritual truth. He says, is it possible that you see anything? Now, the response of the man is sort of, well, yes, I do. Something has happened. I can see things now. But on the other hand, I don't see. Everything is hopelessly out of focus. He said, people look like trees walking around. He said, I see people, but I see people looking like trees. If you see people, looking like trees, then for sure your eyes are out of focus. So after he answers, it's then that Jesus touches him for a second time. And the result of the second touch, when the man looked again after the second touch, he could see clearly. Everything came back into focus after the second touch. And church, I want to look specifically at that second touch. And I'm looking at the second touch to try to find out what it is that Jesus is trying to tell us in this miracle. There's no question at the first touch, there's no question that the man had experienced a miracle from the hand of Jesus. He was completely blind, this man. Okay? Completely blind. There's no question he experienced a miracle. But on the other hand, after the first touch, it was kind of only half a miracle because his eyes are out of focus. He sees people as trees. Now, do you realize when it comes to the spiritual, many of us who have been born again, look, there's no question that you've received of the very life of Jesus, that the spittle has been applied to you. There's no question. The spit has been put on your eyes. The life of Jesus has come into your spirit. You are born again. I would never question that. You have come to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You've confessed Jesus as Lord. You are newborn persons. You are no longer dead. You live. They are no longer dead. They live. No question. You are no longer in the world of the blind. And by the way, that's the difference between you and those who don't know Christ. They are just in the only difference is they are just in the world of the blind. Do you realize that? Do you realize that those who don't know Christ are in the world of the blind? That's why we sing, church, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. What's the next line? I was blind. But now I see. You were in the world of the blind, but now you see. Amazing grace. Now you see. And even though you see, listen, even though you see, when you talk to many Christians, you realize that their spiritual vision is hopelessly out of focus. Even though they see, you realize that their vision is hopelessly out of focus. Now listen, there you have got people who are unquestionably reborn. They live in Christ, no question. They see an awful lot in the kingdom of God, but their spiritual vision is out of focus. I look at this man in the gospel story and I say, well, is this man blind or isn't he? Let's make up our mind. Does he see or doesn't he see? And that's the problem. He can see, but he can't see. Did you notice that the man actually expressed his problem? He said, I see people as trees walking around. Now, isn't that interesting? That all the ways that he could describe to Jesus his lack of vision, all the ways he could have described that, he said, I see people as trees walking. Now, come on, stay with me because I'm going somewhere. I'm going to watch the Eagles game after church, but I'm going somewhere with this text, all right? I'm going somewhere with this text. Stay with me. A miracle, watch, a miracle has happened. But the miracle lacked something, and that lack was a relationship to people. He saw people as trees. The miracle had happened, but it lacked something. It lacked a relationship to people. He saw people as trees. He said, I can see, But when I look at people, when I look at people, I see them as trees. So the point where the miracle broke down was his relationship to people. So many people that I have talked with, that I've counseled with, that I've discussed things with, that I've ministered to, do these people see in a spiritual sense? Yes, they do. They see God. They have come to see God as they've never seen him before. They've realized that he is a God of love and mercy and grace. They have received of his compassion. Do you remember the days before you saw when you were afraid of God? You remember those days? When you were afraid of, when God was just an ogre who was seeking to get you in the most negative sense of the word? Where when you heard the word God, all it meant to you was a judgment word. God was coming to get you, but then you saw. Then you saw. The eyes of your understanding were open. You were flooded with light, and you realized that God in Jesus Christ had died for you, that God had taken your sin, and he had placed it upon his own son. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and God declared your sin was taken care of, and you could now be pardoned, and your sin would never be counted against you again. You were accepted in the family of God as if you were the Lord Jesus yourself. You missed that. You were accepted in the family of God as if you were the Lord Jesus himself. That's the good news, church. You saw God. He's not the ogre forever beating down on you. He's your Father who loves you, who delights in you, who surrounds you with his care. You see. No doubt about it. You see God. You see yourself. You see yourself in relation to Christ. Do you remember the day? Do you remember the day? I remember it distinctly. The day that my eyes were opened and I realized that Jesus Christ lives in me. Do you remember that day that it hit you? That Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, the divine one, lives in me? And then you began to discover who you were in Christ. Before that, you were struggling and trying to please God, and now you've come to this glorious revelation that Jesus Christ lives in you. He is your life. For me to live is Christ. It is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've stood before that spiritual mirror and you've seen yourself as you really are, created in his image, Christ living in you. I mean, it's you, but it's not you, as Paul says. And you can really say, I live, but it's not I that lives. It's Christ who lives in me. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. That's good news. Christ is living in you. Of course you see. You see more than you've ever seen in your life before. The gospel has become the light that has opened your eyes and sent it streaming throughout your whole being. And with all that, listen, with all that, many of us are like this blind man. We see, but we don't see. Because you don't see your relationship to people. In fact, your relationship to people or to your other brothers and sisters or to people in this world, listen, is totally out of focus. It says he sees people as trees. Now, I have to insist to you this morning in studying this, I have to insist to you that the Holy Spirit placed that right in the scripture to teach us something very specific. I see people as trees walking. Now, what are trees to you and me? What are trees? A tree for me is something I can enjoy. It's a thing of beauty. It can make me happy at times to be surrounded by trees. It can provide shade for you when the sun is beating down. You can enjoy sitting under a tree, under the shade. A tree is something you can pick fruit off of and use for what it can produce. So a tree is something that can be enjoyed, and it's something that can be used. But just a minute. If the tree is in the way, like we have two trees out here in the way of seeing this sign, if it blocks my view, if for some reason the tree makes me unhappy, if the tree gets old and loses its ability to produce fruit or provide shade, if it doesn't suit my purposes anymore, watch, I immediately cut it down. I mean, it's only a tree, and it's blocking my view. I'm human. It's only a tree. I'll cut it down. I'll destroy it. In fact, after I destroy it, I'll use it for firewood or for profit. I'll sell it because it's only a tree. There's no way that you could say I had any kind of relationship to a tree. It's a thing. I don't expect to talk to the tree. I don't expect for the tree to listen to me or for me to listen to the tree. It's a thing. Do you realize, church, that the Holy Spirit picked this particular illustration? The man said, I see, but I don't see. I see people as trees walking. Do you realize that many of us have been trained since childhood to see people as trees? People are just things, objects to be used. Oh, they might provide a little shade at times from the heat of living in this fallen world. You might be able to pick some fruit off of them. But they are things. They are objects to be used, things all around us. We do not see them as they really are, persons. They're just things all around us. That's the way some of us have been raised. I can't even tell you how many people I've talked to that are not in the church anymore. They're not in the community or fellowship of the body of Christ anymore because they felt used by the church. And they felt their only value to the church was when they could provide or do or how they could help the leadership build a bigger ministry. And they were only valued for their talent. Watch, they were seen as trees. Trees. And the fact is, he says, people... I see people as trees. And the fact is, church, that people are not trees. We are so utterly different. Now, on the surface, that's obvious. Everybody knows you're not a tree. But, I mean, do you honestly realize how different you are? When God created this world, in the 6 days of creation, he began by creating the thing. He said, let there be light, let dry land appear, oceans, fish, trees. And then we come to God creating all the animals and filling all the forest and with animals, and then comes that divine pause in creation. I say divine pause because everything else God created, he said, let there be light, let the dry land appear, let there be vegetation, etc., etc. But when he comes to the sixth day, everything is there except man. And then there is this divine pause when God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In other words, there's going to be something on earth now that's more than a thing. All the animals could be called things. But now something is going to come forth from the hand of the Creator that is in his image and likeness. Man, mankind. Do you realize who you are? Look at the animals. Look at the fish. Look at the trees, the vegetables, the flowers. All those came forth from the hand of God, but when he made you person in his image and in his likeness. Church, you got to realize what that is. This God who has no beginning and who's infinite made someone in his image. We have a beginning and we're finite, but we're still made in the image of God. Man is Lord over the earth, Messiah over to the animals. That's man. I mean, you've never seen an ape cultivate a garden, have you? I mean, you've never seen any animal make a pathway. Only man can do those things, for he is made in the image of the Creator. And when I turn to you, when I look at you, I have to realize you are more than a thing. You are a person. You are made in the image of God. You know, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as a mere mortal. Why? Because every person in this room is of eternal importance. I find it interesting how the scripture deals with what we might consider the little people. I find it interesting, even how the scripture deals with what we would consider the little people. Let me just give you a few examples. If you go back to the Old Testament and you take the widow who came to Elisha, her husband, who was one of the Bible school students, had died and she was left with all this debt. And the story goes that Elisha sent her to get all these containers she could get her hands on. And out of this tiny little bottle of oil, God fills every one of those containers so she was able to sell it and pay off her debt. Do you know her name? Do you know her name? No, I don't know her name. It's not in the Bible. It's just an insignificant little widow who had debts that God said she is of such eternal importance. Not only will I work a miracle in her life to pay off her debts, but she will be recorded in all of time. Look at how Jesus opens his public ministry. He went to Cana of Galilee for a wedding. Cana is this little hamlet attached to Galilee, and Jesus chooses that insignificant place where he's going to introduce himself as the miracle worker to all the people. And what does he do? Well, there's this couple. I'm sorry, I don't know their names. No name. I don't know who they are. There's this couple, just an insignificant couple, peasants of Galilee. The people in Jerusalem would have despised them because they were Galilean and they had funny accents. They were peasants. Jesus goes to the wedding and they had made a mistake. They ran out of wine. And in that day, that was a terrible thing to take place because in the Hebrew culture, if a Hebrew couple ran out of wine, it was almost a sign that their marriage was going to go bad. So you always had to have enough wine to last for a week of celebration. So Jesus turns the water into wine, watch, so that this couple would not be embarrassed. I mean, come on, this is the God who came to earth, the God who took upon himself humanity, and what's the first big thing he does? How does he announce himself to the people of that day? By helping a peasant couple who had miscalculated how many guests they would have. Do you see what I'm saying? It's insignificance. A peasant couple, a wedding? Look at the story in John chapter 4. The story of the woman of Samaria. What's her name? I don't know. I don't know what her name is. She was the most hated person in that area. She had five husbands. She was now living with somebody else who wasn't her husband. And everybody avoided her like the plague. And we don't even know her name. And Jesus goes out of his way, watch, not only to talk to her, but he causes her to be the first one to know he was the Messiah, even before the disciples. She knew before the disciples knew it. She knew that he was Messiah. He told her, "I that speak unto you am he." He shared with her the good news, and she became the one to run back to the city and bring everyone to see Jesus. Church, the importance that God places upon people. That we would just say, well, they're anonymous. They're insignificant. They're peasants. I don't know who they are, but listen, God does. And the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of very insignificant people by worldly standards. But I just remember who you are. Get a grasp of the magnificence of you as person. Get a grasp of that. When the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so often we quote that to the unconverted. But it's not just for the unconverted. It's to let you and I know our value. God says you are of more value than the entire world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul? Your soul is worth more than the entire world. Come on, can you imagine that? That one individual is worth more than the entire world, the whole world. Jesus was constantly telling people that they were of more value than things. When you look at things, that's one part of God's creation. But when you look at yourself, please understand, you are made in God's image. We are not things to be used. We are persons. That's how Jesus sees us, as persons. That's why Paul writes in Galatians. Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, Jesus died for us as if you were the only person in the world he died for. You get that? Jesus died for us as if you were the only person in the world he died for. And you know what's happened to us, church? The fall of man has cut us off from this kind of understanding and from these great truths. Because when we fell, we were cut off from God. I mean, we didn't know who God was. We sort of knew he was there, but we didn't know who he was. We were cut off from God. We were cut off from ourselves. We didn't know who we were, and we were cut off from each other, so we were just like trees walking to each other. We were like things out there. And what was the lie? What was the lie that Adam and Eve fell for? That the whole human race fell for? What was the lie? You shall be as gods. Seeing yourself as God, not created in His image, seeing yourself as God. And when you see yourself as God, listen, that means I am number one and everybody else is number two, three, four, down the line. We look at people as trees that walk. They're not persons. They're just trees. They are objects to be used to further my purposes. Oh, I mean, they're nice to have around sometimes. Some persons. We can get some enjoyment out of them. Watch. We can sit under them and get some shade. They are to be enjoyed and used, but never to really communicate. Many times to be among people, watch, is a walk in the woods. It's a walk in the woods. It's a walk among trees. You know why? Because there's no communication, no relationship. It's just a walk among the trees. And listen, if anybody gets in our way, we remove them with anger. Or if I can't use them or enjoy them, watch, then I chop them down. You see, the fact is that for the most part among mankind today, we do not listen to each other. We started a ministry here called Soul Care just for the very fact that we need to listen to each other. We're in a culture that doesn't listen to each other. We have no relationship with each other, nor do we expect to be listened to. That's why half of us are in therapy. You know, America has learned how to ego speak better than any other nation in the world. What is ego speak? Here's what it is. I know you've had these conversations. When I do the talking and you're not listening because you're waiting for the one word I say that you can latch onto and start talking. And then when you start talking, I don't listen to you either. I'm listening for something you say that will enable me to start talking again. So I can latch on to that. And so we talk over each other's shoulders, no relationship. We don't listen to each other. A pastor friend of mine in Florida was convinced that no one ever listened to the announcements. He was convinced. So one Sunday morning, just to test the people, he said, "There will be no baptismal service tonight because there's an alligator in the baptismal tank." And the deacon on the front row said, "Amen, brother." What in the world? Preach it, pastor. Preach it. Not listening. Church, I don't want us to be just words passing by our ears and we just make our robotic responses, responses we've been trained to make, but not listening. We live with people, we work with people, but we have no more relation to them than a tree. You don't have close relationship to people. Have you noticed that since you came to Christ, that this is actually the very last area of our spiritual growth? As soon as you come to know Jesus Christ, there's this God-word relationship established. We begin to know God more and more. And the more you know God, the more you begin in yourself to come together and realize who you are in Christ. You grew up as a person in many ways just by coming to know Jesus. Now, where do you find all the troubles and problems of your Christian life? I guarantee you it's in the area of people. Some of you would be marvelous Christians if there were no people around. You'd be on, man. You'd be Mr. Christian. If there were no people around. I mean, wouldn't it be fantastic if there was nobody to upset you? What are the problems that you have as a Christian? Anger? Well, you couldn't be angry unless there were people around. What's your problem as a Christian? Bitterness? Then you're mulling over something another person did to you. All the church splits, church fights, there wouldn't be any if it was only you and Jesus. We don't have any problem with Jesus. It's all those other people. I see them as trees walking, and they're getting in my way. I see them as trees walking, and they're getting in my way. I was reading in the Psalms of David, where he says, "Oh, for the wings of a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest. Oh, for the wings of a dove, that I get away from all the people, get away from all the pressure, get away from all the angry words and their cynical comments. Oh, for the wings of a dove." Our trouble, church, is exactly like this man in the miracle. Jesus has touched him. There has been the application of the spittle, which speaks of life and new birth. And the man could honestly say, "I do see." And yet at the same time, he says, "I don't." He says, "I'm out of focus, watch, when it comes to people." And I got to believe this morning that I'm speaking to somebody or some of you in here right now. You're born again, no question. No question. You're born again. And you do see, no question. But when it comes to relationship with people, you are out of focus. What must be done? Jesus gave him a second touch. Now notice how he gave the second touch. Watch. This is so good. Watch what he did. Watch how he did it. Oh, this is too good. Watch how he did it. He included the man in the final miracle. He said to the man, "What do you see?" Or in other words, "Hey, how's the miracle coming?" Jesus doesn't say things like that. He said it like that because he's trying to draw the man out. Watch. This man has got to be a part of the miracle. And church, if we're going to experience a full salvation in the sense, a full salvation in the sense that I see God, I see myself, and I see my fellow man, if we're going to experience a full salvation in that sense, we've got to be a part of the miracle. God draws us out. So Jesus asked the question, you know, do you see anything? Now, look at from the blind man's perspective or half seeing. He could have given up. He could have given up right then and said, well, this thing called real sight is not for me. He could have lied. Think about it, church. Think about it. When Jesus said, do you see anything? He could have lied. Jesus had a reputation for healing blind people. And he could have just felt, well, I've got to save Jesus' reputation, so I'm going to tell a lie and say, oh, yes, everything's fine. I meet people like this in the church all the time. And I'm going to tell you this, that there will never be any deliverance. There will never be any bringing of maturity to your experiencing God until we begin to tell the truth to ourselves instead of putting on a mask. Are you trying to save Jesus' reputation? I know that Jesus makes things wonderful and makes us more than conquerors, and I won't let him down. I'll save his reputation, so I won't tell anybody what's really going on. I'll just put on a mask. If this man had told a lie to save Jesus' reputation, he would have never seen properly. He could have told a lie just to encourage the other blind people. I mean, again, Jesus had a reputation for healing the blind. Oh, man, he could have thought, well, supposing it gets out there that here is a blind person that wasn't healed properly. No, church, the man tells the truth. When Jesus questioned him, he told the truth. He said, Jesus, to be perfectly honest, brother, I don't see very well. I mean, Jesus, something's happened. Something's happened to me, but I'm out of focus. And quite honestly, Jesus, if this is sight, I don't really think much of it. Listen to me, church. The full, completed miracle was, you got to get this. The full completed miracle was only because of his honesty. You can clap. He just admitted, I don't see properly. And when he said that, watch. When he said that, that was 95% of the miracle. And church, that is 95% of us walking maturely and seeing perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we stop all our excuses and masks and cover-ups, maturity begins with honesty. Honesty with God, honesty with yourself, and saying when it comes to people and seeing all that clearly, being honest and saying, God, I need spiritual LASIK. I need vision correction, God. I need a second touch. God, I haven't been able to put off anger and bitterness and envy and strife and malice, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, to put those things off. And all the negatives that are between me and people, I haven't been able to put it off. I haven't been able to put on love and tenderness and kindness and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven me. I haven't been able to look at my brothers and sisters and realize that by creation, they are persons and not trees. I haven't been able to look at them and realize that Christ died for them and that Christ lives in them. God, I need a second touch. I'm going to ask our music team if they would come back and just be led by the Spirit in closing our service. But as they're coming back, I want to say one last thing. I want to say one last thing. Do you hear this morning with spiritual ears what I'm saying? Are you hearing with your spiritual ears? Yes or no? Church, not only have we been guilty of seeing people as trees, but we have been seen as trees. And we look at that as normal. We just see everybody as trees, and it's very safe to do that. Oh, it's safe. Oh, and I'm telling you, the church is famous for this. We're doing and serving, doing our thing, but as far as real involvement with one another, it's a forest of trees. It's very safe. You never have to be open with anybody. You treat them like a tree. They treat you like a tree. You never have to be open. You never have to be real. They have their mask. You have your mask. No involvement. And therefore, nobody can ever get hurt. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're really going to let the love of God flow through you, if you're going to receive the love from others, you're going to have to put yourself in a vulnerable position and you just might get hurt. But you know what the other alternative is? The other alternative is to lock yourself in a coffin of self-love. It's either the coffin of death or walk out of that grave and begin to let the Christ in you treat people through you as persons. I mean, do you want to carry on living in the forest? Or church, do you want to begin living fully? If you do, listen, accept with honesty the second touch and let people become persons and let God's love flow through you to them. Can you say amen? Bow your heads with me 1 second. I just feel led to do this. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. And please, no one looking around. No one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can say to me today, Pastor Charlie, if you can say this word spoke to me today, I need that second touch. I need my vision corrected when it comes to people. I need to see the people in my life and the people around me as much more valuable and significant. You might say today, I'm going to be honest today. I'm going to be honest today and admit that I see people as trees. That I see people as trees and my vision is out of focus. It's not compatible with who I am in Christ. And Lord, I'm asking you to give me a second touch, to change my heart, to change my vision, to help me to see people through your eyes with every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, if that's you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I just want you to slip up your hand quickly and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Come on, slip up your hand. Thank you for all those hands. Say, pray for me. I'm looking because I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you, all of you, for being honest. Lord Jesus, bring each one of us in here this morning. God, bring us to a place of honesty. God, bring us to a place of honesty with you and honesty with ourselves, God, where we stop with all our excuses and masks and cover-ups. Father, I ask you to help us to submit ourselves into your hands, God, and to receive the second touch. Clear up our vision. Lord, whatever way we're out of focus, when we look at people, when we see people, when we interact with people, Lord, whatever way we're out of focus, I ask you today, Lord, to perform spiritual LASIKs on the eyes of this body. Lord, we thank you so much for the great value, the great worth, the great importance, and the great significance, God, that you place on each and every soul in this room. Lord, help us to see through your eyes. Help us to hear through your ears. Lord. Use us to bring sight to the blind. And Father, help us all together to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you all these things. I give you all the glory and praise today and ask you all these things in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning.